cliffcentral.com.
Richard, are we on track with the financial pack for my presentation to the board next week?
Well, hopefully. The team's very short-staffed, and it's taking such a long time to find a suitable financial manager for the division. We're way behind on all our forecasts and reporting.
Why don't you speak to the finance team? They're a consultancy that can help you with an experienced interim financial manager. You can have somebody to help you almost immediately. They'll hit the ground running with no long-term contracts and no upfront placement fees.
Go to thefinanceteam.co.za.
Welcome to our practical business section of our business masterclass. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, your part-time financial executive solution. Joining me in studio today is Safia Boulay of New Habits, Making Shift Happen.
Hi, Richard.
Staying on from our previous segment is Mike Hinton. Thanks for being with us. Last week, Safia spoke to Vincent Shanley, chairman of the JCCI in Sandton. And they discussed what they're doing in an initiative to bring Sandton corporates and township entrepreneurs from Soweto and other regions within Gauteng closer together. So that's an interesting podcast. Download that from our website. Today's guest is Mitch Brigando, a Discovery accredited wealth builder.
Great.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Now, we've just, in the previous segment, had a long conversation about tax planning and some of the challenges in that world for business owners. Mitch, what exactly is a wealth builder? Because let me call it a new phraseology that's emerged in the last few years. What does a wealth builder do?
Right. A wealth builder basically is a little bit diversifies from your normal, call them insurance salesman.
Okay.
Your insurance salesman is exactly what he is. He comes in, sells you a product, looks normally at your affordability, and whatever you can afford, he actually gives you.
Mm-hmm.
Our wealth builder comes in and he creates a financial roadmap for you. What is a financial roadmap? Basically, what he does a needs analysis on all your financial goals, short-term, middle-term, long-term, your needs, and then through that he then devises a roadmap and obviously puts it together for looking at pre and post retirement. Mm. But we also must understand there's a lot of other implications involved for financial. It's not just retirement.
Yeah. I was going to say, in today's day and age, do people still retire, Mitch?
that is another question that needs to be done, is that a lot of people think that you're going to retire at 65.
Hmm.
All right. And the burning question is, do you have enough money when you retire at 65?
Yeah, no, and unfortunately, from what I'm seeing in today's day and age, there's all sorts of pressure in the system, and returns are not at the levels that were anticipated, and often that people are not able to do that, make that retirement. I think the world has shifted significantly from what I would call the baby boomer, or perhaps even earlier than the baby boomer, the World War II kind of generation where that lived through the Great Depression and have planned and been on, let's call them, defined benefit type of planning. And now you get into the next generation that's retiring now. I mean, you know, if I look around me and I look at people in there at 65, I don't see many retired individuals, and it's all around, I just don't have the funding to retire anymore.
It's affordability.
Another
thing, too, is discussing all the different baby boomers and millennials,
mm-hmm.
like they call it, the me generation. You can't treat both of them exactly the same,
mm-hmm.
because your older people that are retiring now are traditional.
Mm.
So traditional means they've paid their pension fund, and they're now living under the illusion that since the pension fund comes at 65, that's it. When you're planning for someone like the millennials, or like I call them the me generation, it's a total kettle of fish, because all they're thinking is, what am I going to get out of this?
Mm.
And I think that is very, very important as well.
Mm.
I use a little anomic called FAB, and basically stands for features, advantages, and benefits,
mm-hmm.
Which is very, very important. So what I'm trying to do is create a balance between your affordability and what value you're coming through.
Hmm.
And most of the big companies now, including us, is there are a lot of other gimmicks that have been thrown into. There's reward systems, there's boosting, there's a lot of integration that is happening in, which can benefit you financially as well.
Mm. So let's just talk about some of that integration for a moment, because one of the things that when I think about wealth building and preservation and the likes, the one thing that is always so clear is that you need life cover. I mean, I think we all and everybody understands that death, you know, and premature death particularly can be quite catastrophic on any family and any work and business environment. But my insights that I've gained over a few years is that it's not just about death, but disability has become as important and, in fact, is equivalent to your life cover sort of requirements, because in today's modern age of healthcare and the likes, the reality is they probably, unless you really do a number on them, they probably can keep you alive. Whether they can keep you alive in a state that you're actually employable and can still produce the earnings and the income and your business can still function the way it used to be able to, very much a question. And so disability insurance has now become, in my mind, kind of synonymous with a let's call it a wealth plan or an asset preservation plan, to say if something goes pear-shaped, it's not about death, it's also about disability at equivalent sort of environments. What's been your experience? I mean, you see experiences all day, every day. I mean, talk to us about some of the, we don't want to, what do they say? Names and places have been changed to protect the innocent. But, I mean, surely, have you seen these types of challenging spaces for individuals and businesses, aren't they?
That's true. You've hit the hammer on the head as far as life plan. A lot of people go into life plan and they just look at if it gets bought under what the new format is, what they call robot advisors. So basically phoning in and they say, I want 1 million rands worth of life plan, so this is going to cost you, that's the end of the story. But there's much more to life plan. It's got four basic pillars. Your life plan has got your life cover. Number two is what you said, is your capital disability. Then you've got your severe illness.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got your income protection. So it's a whole package that you've got together, and that basically protects your life.
Hmm.
You've also now got the ability to actually say to yourself, right, after 65, mm-hmm. what do I do with this life cover?
Hmm.
You can actually convert it into a severe illness or your capital disability.
Hmm.
So there again, there comes with the planning.
Hmm.
Now the question asked is, okay, I'm 35 years old. Why should I take severe illness and capital disability out?
Hmm. Because nobody's ever had a heart attack at 36.
That's correct. All right.
Yeah.
And so that's where your planning comes through, and that's where your life plan has to be designed in a particular way.
Hmm.
So I call that the protection side.
Hmm.
So you're protecting your life. I mean, you can see daily what is happening with a lot of these people that have got families and they're involved in this horrific car accident.
Mm.
What's happening to your family? If you're the sole breadwinner, what is happening to your family?
Yeah, and particularly, I think often, you know, people think, oh, well, for employees, oh, well, you know, I've got some sort of cover from my company, or, you know, somebody's going to engage. But the reality is, if you're a business owner, the guys that we're talking to, you've got a problem because you aren't covered in those sort of environments particularly. And even if you are, you know, an employee, but you're in a smaller business, the reality is that often the smaller business doesn't have those types of benefits and they haven't done the planning correctly. So you're in the space of, well, somebody had a heart attack at the office, but there's only three of us in the office. Now what? and what is the company going to do for this person, and how they're going to manage the situation?
Yeah, it's very, very important that the company looks at his employee benefits. Okay. And to be quite frank, it's in the interest of the company to the employees to be covered properly.
Hmm.
Because if that employee is off for a period of time, there goes the productivity. And that's where the whole new thing about income protection will start playing a big, big role. Where it is part of the life plan. A lot of the time it was a separate division. And now we've incorporated the life plan. Because if you get injured while you're doing work and you're unable to do your work, what's going to happen?
Would that be... You talk about income protection. Would that be for the company as well as for the individual? Do you take up two different policies?
Not at all. If it's a group scheme, it's all included with the company, okay. Actually. Mm. But obviously, if the company is not going to look at that group scheme and not going to get life cover, if the employer has to take it by himself, that's an extra cost. Okay. And the extra cost on your life plan for income protection is quite stitched.
So who contributes to the group scheme? The employer only or the employer and the employee?
Depends on what the arrangements they've got.
Okay.
All right. Most employees say, right, we'll do 50%.
Okay.
That's a 50-50 shared responsibility, I guess. Now, as a business owner, I mean, what are some of the primary issues you see business owners facing in this world of, let's call it, wealth preservation, wealth creation? What are some of the key elements that you see out there?
Most of the businesses I walk into, I would say about 60%, don't have buy and sell agreements in place.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not protecting their partners.
Okay.
So if something happens to the one partner, what happens to the business?
Mm.
And I take it one step further, is they should be looking at a life policy or a retirement policy in that buy and sell, which we at Discovery, it's all incorporated anyway. So if something happens to the actual one business and he's suffering from some severe illness, at least he's covered and he can still do it.
And would that cover be on a percentage of the value of the business, of the
Precisely.
Partnership?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
How often would you have to revalue that
Yearly.
Business?
Yearly. Okay. So all right. There's new stipulations coming through. I don't know how many people know. It's called the RDR, where you are, as financial planners, wealth builders, financial advisors, are going to be compelled to see your clients every 6 months.
Mm.
And if
I
you think
do that.
if you think about it, it's logical.
Mm.
Because you might be fit and able now, but 6 months time you could have contracted something.
Mm.
Or your conditions could be changed. Mm. Or you could be starting a business.
Mm. Yeah, I was gonna say, I think the reality is that 6 months between visits from your financial planner, I mean, I often think that we think of these things as almost moments in time, rather than, you know, something that is an ongoing thing. You know, it's like, you know, you go and have lunch every day, or you go eat food. You know, you feed yourself daily. In much the same way, you manage your risk around your life and your business risks, etc., on a daily, weekly, monthly, and 6 monthly sort of basis. You need to be monitoring and managing the stuff on a regular basis. Now, what are some of the other big issues that you see? You're talking buy sell agreements, agreeing how you're going to cover, you know, shareholding between the two between parties and partners if something were to happen to one of the parties. What other elements do you see out there?
Well, I think the most important thing, we've just had the discussion in the last half an hour, is the tax implications.
Oh, okay. So if suddenly tax rears its head again. Sorry, sir. when you say the tax implications, what are you raising specifically?
Well, they don't know. Most of them, you have to advise them of what happens. They're putting this money in, and what happens when that money comes out, and where they're going to put that money when they pull that money out. All right. Okay. There are thresholds that are certain tax-free, and there are other things that aren't tax-free.
Yeah.
the most popular vehicle that, that a lot of businesses are clicking in is into the tax-free accounts, savings accounts. Okay. And that's exactly what it says. It's tax-free. So a savings account. So they're using it for capital building, to create building. The misconception about tax, they think it's because it's easy to pull out, it's very flexible, it's a flexible, it's not a short-term setup. Because if you're going to do it as a short-term setup, you're not going to get the benefits out of it.
It's going to get the returns that you need.
So they're using that as an income generator, and it's perfect because it's not tax deductible. And another thing too is it's easy. It's easy to put through.
Easy to manage from a savings perspective.
Yeah.
But I also believe that the businesses, they have to look at the whole package. There's many facets to the business. And I think we need to start concentrating on human capital, which is basically you, your staff. I mean, those are the driving forces in the business.
And make sure that you protect those. And now, I mean, on that line, I mean, that goes down to this whole question of key man insurance inside your business. Talk to us a little bit about how key man differs from some of the other stuff we've been talking to.
It's very much, it works on the same, but it's more specific for that person, their needs. And again, there's much more flexibility on that. But again, you have to go through a planning situation and have someone sitting in front of you that knows what he's talking about.
I was going to say, this is once again that realm of expertise and knowledge, and a little slip here or there could have quite...
Because you can't pull that type of content off the internet.
Yeah, I was going to say, this isn't exactly a how do I go about doing a buy-sell agreement.com.
You see, I think a lot of people are being hooked in, as a lot of the companies are coming through back, and they said, if you take this policy, you get a certain percentage of your actual premiums back. That is not the focus of why you're taking this out.
Yeah. So the money back, if not claimed, type of approach, doesn't seem you're a fan.
It's a value added, but it shouldn't be the concentrate.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, you have vast adverts on TV now coming back and said you can get this back. All right. But what are you actually having? And I think that's what you need to do. You need to not only protect yourself, but you need to start working on enhancing what you're doing.
Okay. Now, when you talk of that whole principle of enhancing, how does that happen, or how do you go about enhancing your wealth creation space?
Okay. What you need to do is you need to look at where we at. What are you saving for? What is your short term goal? What is your short term goal? So, what vehicle am I using to get to that short term goal? Am I putting my funds in a money market? Am I putting it in a tax-free? What's it? When we come into retirement, when are you going to retire? And how much are you putting into retirement? And is it going to pay? When you pull your retirement out, where are you going to put that money in? So that money has to build something. So that's where the enhancement comes.
Surely one of the issues that you've got at the moment is, how long is my retirement going to last for? How long am I going to live after my retirement age? And people are living longer. How do we compensate for that?
We create, that comes back to my first point. In the needs analysis, I sit down with you and I take you from A to Z. What is your assets and liabilities? All right. What is your major expenses? When you retire, what do you want? What do you want your retirement to pay for? Do you want your own property? Is your property paid off? Do you want to go on a vacation? And the one thing that everybody is actually just pushing aside and not even looking at is your medical expenses.
I was going to say the cost of medical is climbing rapidly, and that's the one thing that sits at the end of any conversation at 65.
So have you made provisions to pay for your medical aid? And that's when you actually need your medical aid, because the chances of you contracting chronic diseases or things like that, and that's when you actually need it.
Mm. So, I mean, I guess the reality is, I mean, in your years of experience as a wealth creator, you've obviously learned some key lessons that, you know, you've kind of, I would say, and most of us can do this, you know, kind of put the buckets out there and say, you know, I can put out five or six things that, you know, things tend to fall into. What are those maybe four or five things that that kind of keep coming up that you kind of go, everybody, you should have, you know, it's kind of like you record a voice memo and just play it back to them because you're saying the same stuff over and over again and people just need to get it right. What would some of those things be?
I think making a savings plan essential.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to make a comparison to our Eastern Bloc countries, not Eastern Bloc, in the East, like Japan doesn't have medical aid, doesn't have insurance. But they've so grown into the savings. So they automatically take 25% of what they earn and they put it into savings.
Wow. Okay. That's a big number. So, all right, so 25% of the number that you're making at the moment, Mike. Put that on the table. Put that into the savings account. And we are notoriously bad as South Africans in the savings department. So, yeah. Okay.
So I think that is something that we need to instill for everybody. And I think if we instill it in ourselves and into our children to have that savings mentality, and then from that savings mentality, an education has to be put through. I mean, a lot of people, we throw all these fancy names that I've done today, but no one actually understands what they mean. People go in, they sign the document. I do it often.
Mm-hmm.
They sign, are you happy with it? And then I actually turn around to my client and say, do you know what that actually means?
Mm.
But you do that afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, to prove the point. I think it's a very valid comment.
No one
comment.
Will sign.
a lot of people will acknowledge, yes, we know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm.
But, I mean, and it's very important because you're dealing with your life.
Mm.
So if I had to do anything wrong, I would have started saving at a very, very early age.
Mm, I was going to say, the principle of compound interest applies here. So, you know, you start saving at 25 versus saving at 45 for retirement, the numbers are going to be infinitely different.
And I think that's the way we actually get the millennials to get involved in financial planning. Because you can actually say to them, all right, what do you want? What is your first asset you want to buy? Is it a car or something? And get them to actually invest into it. So they're not looking at what's going to happen when I'm 55 or 65.
Hmm.
Okay. Other things that maybe you put in your list of buckets and things to worry about?
I think we need to be aware that things are changing around us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've gone through 3-4 years that the whole climate around us has changed. I think the medical problem, as I mentioned earlier, is starting to be a bigger and bigger role.
Mm.
All right.
Medical cost inflation as well as availability of staff, etc., pushing costs up.
All right. If you look at for the last 4 years, every year the average of medical aids have gone up between 10% and 12%.
Mm.
So that's another thing. So how do we curb the medical aid side?
Mm.
And this, sorry, I have to use the company I'm using, is the Discovery with a Vitality program.
Mm.
I mean, it's not a program. It's not a reward. All it's doing is creating data.
Mm. And making you, trying to get you to be more healthy.
And it's now been proven that if you're on one of the highest statuses in Vitality, your life expectancy will be far greater.
Hmm.
Mm. I'm not sure I'm so happy about that anymore.
So you blue, the blue status that you have. And I think, you know, for me, the one thing that always sticks out in my assessment of where, what, and how in this world of wealth creation and wealth is, I don't want to engage in an environment where somebody else is taking a, you know, making a profit from me without making a contribution into my environment. So if you're helping me manage my health and it actually has a tangible, or it makes a tangible difference to me, well then I'm prepared to be part of that system. But if you're just going to whack me with a cost and then make my life a little more difficult, well, you know, why am I doing this? Just, I mean, at the end of the day, people have to think very carefully about how they plan their wealth. Obviously, the use of an advisor just makes so much sense because this is an area that not a lot of people are very fluent and comfortable in. What is the, for you, what is the key, let's call it deciding factor of who you use as an advisor? What are the key attributes that you're looking for in an advisor?
Trust. Trust. Do you actually trust that advisor with your life?
Because in a very real way, they do control your life, and especially post-death. So it's not, I always wonder, and I think to myself, it's actually not you that has the problem. It's the people you leave behind that have the problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it comes to that, you know, if it's my problem, I'm prepared to put in the effort. But if it's going to become my children and my wife's problem, actually, I'm prepared to pay for the best advice I can find because I don't want to make it their problem to try and figure out what they're doing with my business and my business interests and my partners and other people that I'm involved. You know, that sort of stuff must be moved out of the way, and they must be able to do what they need to do and live their and continue living their life in the way they have.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's many. I mean, you can do the exercise yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Go speak to your closest friends and said, when last did you see a financial planner? And 60% of the people that I contact haven't seen their financial planner for the last 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, well, then that's not a financial plan. That's a guess. Financial guessing.
That comes down to the first question you asked. What differentiates me? Because I know what's happening in your life. Because I'm communicating with you at least every 6 months.
Yeah.
So, and things are going to change. So that's it. And I also, I've created templates and things like that of the first thing I actually do after we've engaged is I actually sit and I actually advise people how to draw up a plan, how to draw up a budget. And that's very, very important. But it's funny enough is most of the inquiries I get after I've walked away from this says, do you have a good tax planner?
Wow.
Because we've opened that door of them thinking of the financial. So I actually think we should be working hand in hand and we should be working on the same lines.
And I was going to say, I think my, perhaps as we close out here, my closing comment would be, please make sure that you have your tax planning and your wealth planning, let's call it wealth planning as opposed to anything else, that you have those two worlds connected. Because often that's where people disconnect. They have an insurance policy here, this here, that here, and they hope that when it all happens and when the event happens, that everything's just miraculously going to fall into place, and everybody's going to know what's going on. I've had the misfortune of seeing some people's estates post death, and you know, 3.5 years later, they're still trying to figure out what to do with bits and pieces, and I go, my goodness, you can't operate like that, and I don't want to leave my family in that sort of state. So, yeah, having the wealth plan and the tax plan and the business plan and the plans around the business when it's a small business owner, all connected together is key to success in this. Mitch, thank you very much for your time
today.
Thank
you for
if people would like to get hold of you and interact with you based on some of the stuff you've shared with us today, how do they get hold of you? What are your contact details?
They can get me on my cell, which is 071-379-0321, or they can just pop me an email at my name, michelle.brigando@dfc.com. michel@discovery.co.za.
Okay. Spell Michel for us.
M-I-C-H-E-L.
E-L. Michel Brigando at
DFC.discovery.co.za.
Great. Mitch, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Really appreciate your time and input. Mike, thanks for your time. Thanks for your time.
Okay.
Next up, the Youth Leadership Platform. CliffCentral.com.